Take your Bible tonight and open with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians and the fourth chapter, Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. And as you're turning there, I also invite you to take out your study sheet this evening and follow along as we continue to consider the walk of the believer. Last week we considered the thought that we as those who know the Lord are to walk worthy of that name. We are to walk worthy as a believer. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Tonight I want us to consider the concept of walking in newness of life. As a believer, we are to walk in newness of life. Ephesians chapter 4, look with me, beginning in verse 17, we'll read down to verse 24. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's pray. Father, we ask and pray that in the moments that we have remaining tonight, that you would help us as we come together to study the Word of God. That we would see that as we live within this life, that we are to walk as believers in newness of life, that we would be to the praise and the honor and glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask and pray your help and understanding tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. A businessman who owned a warehouse property was seeking to sell his property. While the building was vacant, some vandals damaged the doors. They broke the windows and felt at liberty to deposit their trash inside his facility. One day, that owner of the warehouse received a phone call that there was a buyer, a prospective buyer, that wanted to view the property. As that businessman met the prospective buyer and began to tour the facility, he profusely apologized for the state of his buildings and promised that he would fix those things that had been damaged. As he apologized, the buyer turned to the businessman and said, "Forget about the repairs. When I buy this place, I'm tearing down the building. See, I don't want the building. I want the site." You know, that very same concept is something that you and I need to understand as Christians. When God saved us, he was not interested in remodeling the old site. He wants to build a new site. As Paul continues to address the walk of the believer, he now speaks of the need for us to put off the old and put on the new. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul tells us that since we've been baptized into the body of Christ and raised in him, we are now to walk in newness of life. Here again in Ephesians 4, Paul instructs the church to walk not as the other Gentiles walk. So as we come to his word tonight, I want us to see what it means to walk in newness of life, because God would have us to walk in such a way. God doesn't want us to walk as the other Gentiles walk. We're not to walk as the world walks. We are to walk as Christians in newness of life. So what's that mean? Well, first of all, we need to understand this concept. We need to understand the futility of the Gentiles' walk. Paul is challenging us not to walk as other Gentiles walk. And then he's going to express to us just how vain that walk is. It is a futile walk. In the opening three verses of this challenge, Paul exhorts us to walk in newness of life by showing to us the ways of walking as others walk. Notice how he describes the walk of the other Gentiles. Verse 17, "This I say there and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Now he's going to list their walk in the vanity of their mind. As Paul begins to show us the waste of life and the futility of the Gentiles' walk, he points out that they walk in a way that is described as walking in the vanity of their mind. And that phrase means that when we walk according to the natural man, we do so under an empty illusion. That word, the vanity of the mind, has the idea of an empty illusion. We are not to walk as they walk with an empty illusion. The world today walks believing that there is satisfaction apart from God. If you talk to those in the world today, you will find that they believe that they can find the satisfactions of life apart from God. That is an empty illusion. There is no satisfaction apart from Christ. The world has convinced themselves that through sin and self, they can find completeness. They believe that through money and material things, they can find contentment. Through religion and relationships, they will find fulfillment. The world walks under such an empty illusion that somehow through sin and through self, they will find completeness. Through money and material things, they'll understand what it means to be content. Through religion or relationships, they're going to find fulfillment. Yet as a Christian, we know that true contentment and completeness comes as we seek and we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is our fulfillment. And Paul reminds us, don't walk as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Don't walk with the empty illusions of this world. Yet many who name the name of Christ are walking according to such a path. They're walking with those illusions of mind, and it is empty, it is vain. God has given us a different way to live. In Christ we find completeness. He goes on and says in verse 18 that they walk having their understanding darkened. Having their understanding darkened. The idea that Paul is here relating is that they walk with a loss of perception. To have their understanding darkened, they walk with a loss of perception, especially in relation to the issues of morality. Consider how our world is today. Our world today, in our society, truth is relative. In our society today, men ought to do what they believe is best, since the end justifies the means. The world believes that, folks. The world believes that if you do things wrong along the way, as long as everything turns out okay, it's all right. The Bible doesn't teach that. Truth is not relative. To walk in this way will lead us to compromise the Scripture and deny that which we claim to be the truth. The world walks with their understanding darkened. The world also walks, number three, being alienated from the life of God. That means as the Gentiles, they are separated from God's eternal life. They're in this state, the verse tells us, because of the ignorance of their life that is in them and the blindness of their heart. For you and I as believers, the thought is simply this: if we were to walk being alienated from God, it's not that we would lose our salvation, but the thought here in the phrase is that we would walk apart from the closeness of fellowship with God. We would walk without power, without effect, and without blessing. We would walk apart from that closeness of fellowship. We sang tonight about that sweet peace, that wonderful peace. Yet how many Christians know nothing of that peace? Know very little of a peace which passes all understanding. By the way, the promise of that verse is conditional. There's a way we're supposed to walk and live before we understand such peace. And the reality is, we're not to walk as the Gentiles walk. And number four, it tells us in verse 19 that they, the Gentiles, who are past feeling, having themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work on cleanness with greediness. They're past feeling. It's an interesting phrase, and Paul's final description is one that is pervasive in both our society and in our churches today. To be past feeling carries the idea of being without conscience. It means to live with no sorrow for sin. When we live at a point that there is truly no sorrow for sin, that we really don't have our conscience bothered, then it will lead to lasciviousness. Now, that's not a word that we use a lot. It's a good word, though. The word lasciviousness means a life without restraint. When we live without a conscience being pricked or being able to be convicted by the Word of God, we are giving ourselves over to lasciviousness, a life with no restraints, and that lasciviousness will lead to uncleanness coupled with greed. When I read those descriptions that Paul mentions here in those verses, we see much in our society of those things. We live in a world that, quite frankly, lives according to the vanity of their mind. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. There is ignorance and blindness of heart. They are past feeling. And this is what Paul says: don't walk according to the way of them. You've been given a new life. You're not to walk as the Gentiles walk, who walk in futility. There is to be within us a newness of life. That's how we're supposed to walk and live. With these thoughts in view, Paul now addresses the importance of walking in newness of life. And he addresses next the faithful decision to walk in newness of life. Verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk." He gives the description, and then he says in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." The Gentiles walk in a certain way, and he described it for us. "But you have not so learned Christ." We are to be distinct from the Gentiles. I remind you, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We're to walk in newness of life. We have not so learned Christ. We are not to walk as others walk in the futility of our life. We are to walk in newness of life. How do we do that? Well, that's what the following verses then help us to see. Verse 22, we're told that we must develop a conviction concerning the old man. If we have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, we are to put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. If we're going to walk in newness of life, we have to develop a conviction concerning the old man. We will never truly walk in newness of life until first we are willing to set aside the old man. That old man can be understood as that life that we lived before we were saved. We've got to understand that old nature. We have to understand who it is that we are. And we have to develop a conviction concerning that old man. We do so because we have come to the proper conclusion and conviction that the old man is corrupt and he is controlled by deceitful lust. Look again at verse 20. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. What do we need to understand about the old man? Folks, the old man is corrupt. One of the things I often hear people say, and I wish they wouldn't, I understand why we say it. It's not the best counsel to give. Just follow your heart. Don't ever tell someone that. Jeremiah tells us the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't need to follow the heart of the old man. That life is controlled by our deceitful lust. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were and we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, and we walked according to our own lust. And because of such, we were by nature the children of wrath. But praise the Lord, by His grace, He has saved us. Now we are to walk in newness of life. And you and I will never begin to walk in newness of life until first we come to the conviction that the old man has to go. Those old desires have to be set aside. The old way of thinking can be destroyed. And we have to walk now in newness of life because the old man is corrupt. The old man is controlled by lusts that are deceitful, and it's going to lead us to the wrong paths. And then secondly, we must to decide to consciously put on the new man. Verse 23 says that we're to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We must decide to consciously put on the new man. Now, when you and I have come to the conviction that the old man is corrupt and beyond repair, we must now decide to exercise ourselves unto godliness and allow our minds to be renewed by the Lord. I've had a tendency in our past that I wear my stuff out. If it's comfortable, I will wear it until basically there is nothing left. And my wife will finally say, "Are you going to finally get rid of that? Why? It's so comfortable." "Well, you're not going to take that out in the public, are you?" "No, it's something for me to wear around the house." You ever have that old garment? It's just so comfortable and it's great. Leanne's looking at Bob. Yes, he has those things. We all probably have them. Sometimes our loved ones decide that we've got to get rid of the old, so they buy us something new. And the new will sit there and stay there because we still like the old. I usually do that until my wife finally goes through and throws it away. And then she says, "I don't know what happened to it." Well, she probably doesn't. It's in a landfill somewhere. She knows how it got there, but she doesn't know what happened to it. Know what you and I have to learn to do? When it comes to the old man, we got to set that old, dirty garment aside. And we need to put on the new garment. That's what Paul's saying. Why walk according to those old ways? There's a new life. Put on that new man. Stop walking around according to the old. Now go and consciously put on the new. God wants His people to walk in newness of life. We've been baptized and placed into the body of Christ. We are now part of that family. We're no longer part of the family of the devil. We are now the family of God. And we are to walk as if we have a new life. We've got to decide to put on that new man. The rest of these verses in chapter 4 give to us a forthright challenge to walk in newness of life. And what Paul's going to do is give us illustrations of how we now walk in newness of life. And there's good principles here for us. Look at verse 25. Paul addresses and gives us an illustration of speech. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Paul says, let me illustrate the concept of putting off the old and putting on the new. In the old, in your speech, you would lie. Your speech before was tainted. Now, your speech needs to be truthful. You used to lie, now you tell the truth. You say, wait a minute, if I tell the truth, it's going to cost me. That's okay, tell the truth. One of the things we have taught our children from the time they were very young is there are many things we can tolerate, but we cannot tolerate when you lie. I can tolerate a kid being foolish because the Bible tells me foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. There's a way to deal with the foolishness. I don't mind the foolishness. But I despise, I hate when they lie. They want to find themselves in trouble, go ahead and lie. Because we hate lying. Paul says, you know what? Your speech used to be tainted. Now it needs to be truthful. You put away the old habits, and now you put on new. Now look at verse 26 and 27. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." He's talking now about strife. We're to turn from fighting to forgiving. That's a verse we often turn to in premarital counseling for those as they get ready to get married. And we say, here's a principle for your life. Never go to bed angry. Don't fight. Don't carry on the feud. Learn to forgive. See, the old man tends to hold on and tends to battle and tends to fight. But the new man, the Bible says, we're to forgive. You know, the reality is that's true for husbands and wives. That's true for church members. That's true with co-workers. We shouldn't allow things to go on. And we shouldn't just be engaged in fights. We ought to learn to forgive. Look at verse 28. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that hath need." Paul here now addresses the issue of stealing. He says we're to go from greedy to giving. A person who steals is greedy. They want for themselves. They're willing to take from others that they might have something they haven't earned. And Paul says, you know what? We go from greedy to giving. Let him now work. Not simply that he can provide for his own needs. Let him work that he can give to him who hath need. There's the old way. Selfish greed that stole. Now there's a new way. One who works and labors that he might give. We've got to put off the old and put on the new. Verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Again, he goes back to speech. And he says, that speech which you had in the old life, which was breaking things down, now needs to be building up. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That which destroys. Instead, let your speech be that which edifies, that which builds up. Hey, if the habit of your life was to put people down through criticisms, through gossip, now you need to change your speech to be edifying and building up. Instead of looking around to see who you can be critical about, now it's looking around to see who you can give praise to. There was an old life, now there's a new. And we need to walk in newness of life. Verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." We're to go from grieving the Spirit to glorifying God in the way that we live. Then verse 31 and 32 talk about the situations that we encounter. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Instead of facing the situations of life with evil, we're to face them that we might edify. Paul says we're to let all bitterness. That word there speaks of a seated hostility, of wrath. That speaks of that inward boiling up of our tempers. The word anger speaks of the outburst. The word clamor speaks of a brawling nature. The evil speaking refers to us fighting with our words. And then there's that word malice, which is simply the idea of a hatred for another individual. Let all those evils be put away and put on a kind and tender heart, learning to forgive, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Christians, you and I are called to walk in newness of life. Not walk as the other Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, who live alienated from the life of God and who are past feeling. Now, you and I are supposed to develop a conviction concerning the old man and consciously decide to put on the new. How do we do that? Replace the old evil habits with new and godly ones. I remember years ago, a mom came to me. She was concerned about her teenage daughter. Her daughter was listening to all the wrong kinds of music. She says, "Pastor, how do I get my child to stop listening to the evil music of this world and listening to godly music that's going to help her grow in her spiritual life?" I said, "Can I ask you a couple questions?" And she said, "Sure." I said, "How did she get the music?" "Well, I bought it for her." I said, "What'd you do that for?" I said, "If you're going to correct that, then you two together need to correct your mistake. Number one, you need to tell her you're wrong for buying her the music. And two, you need to throw it all out. Because we invest a lot of money in that music." I said, "That's not an investment. You're destroying her life with it." I said, "So what I would suggest to you is I would grab all of her music that you paid for. She didn't pay for any of it. You bought it. So in all actuality, it is yours." And I said, "I'd get the trash can out and I'd hold up the CD and I'd simply ask, 'Godly and glorifying or evil?' If she says evil, you take the CD and you snap it in half and put it in the garbage." I said, "Go through her entire collection that way." "Well, then she's not going to have anything to listen to." I said, "You're right. So you're going to replace the garbage with good." Because, folks, I'll be honest with you, it does not work just to throw something out if you don't replace it with good. Because if you don't replace it, you're going to go back and fill back up with the garbage. Sad reality was, she came back to me a few months later and said, "Still having trouble. She won't give it up." I said, "Can I ask you one question?" "Sure." "Did you ever go through her music?" "No." I said, "Then you're never going to get victory over that." God wants us to walk in newness of life. And that means we've got to put off the old man and we've got to put on the new. It's time for us to walk in that newness of life. God intended that when we were saved, that he would not simply clear out the old site. He would build afresh and anew. We have a new life in Christ. The old man is to be put away, cast off like a filthy garment, and you and I are supposed to be donning the new royal wardrobe. That's what God wants for you and me. We are to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and we are to walk now in newness of life. It is not acceptable in the eyes of God for his Christians, his children, to walk according to the old life. That is to be done away with. And we're to walk now with newness of life for His honor and for His glory. And I trust that we will learn to walk in such a way that we would be known as those who walk in newness of life, not like the Gentiles who walk in the vanity of their mind, with their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, past feeling, given over to lasciviousness, uncleanness coupled with greed. Let's pray.